Jesus, we just thank you and praise you for your faithfulness, for how good you are. We lift you up. We exalt you today and this morning. We come here with a sense of just expectancy, of anticipation, because your word always brings life. It always brings illumination. It draws us closer to you. We thank you that we have this time and this opportunity where we can praise you, where we can lift you up and exalt you. And it's our desire that in everything we do throughout the day and throughout the week, that we always lift you up and exalt you, that people see our joy in you, our joy in having you fill us to the fullest. So we are ready to receive your word this morning. Our hearts, our souls are open to receive everything that you have for us. You take this time. You be glorified, Jesus, for it's all in your name. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated this morning. That's something I forgot to do yesterday at the wedding, by the way. I forgot to tell them they could be seated. So through about three quarters of the wedding, it didn't even dawn on me that everybody was still standing. Until finally one lady who had high heels, because this was an outdoor wedding, and she had high heels, and she said she was kind of wavering a little bit. So she sat down, and everybody else followed. So I at least remembered to have you guys sit this morning. So how many of you guys spend any time during the week? Anybody look up anything about Mutiny on the Bounty? Really? Man, I thought for sure somebody would. Man. We talked about, okay, well, that's something. Okay, well, that's something as well. Well, that was fun last week. And we're continuing on by looking at hope. And if you remember, that was talking about hope. And what we've been talking about is that difference between the world's kind of hope and biblical hope. Because biblical hope is that first step that takes us towards faith. So we can receive those things. We can take possession of those things that he has already established for us. So I want to look at a couple of things from last week. Because if you weren't here last week, there's a couple of things that's important for us to know. So we can build upon those things this week as we continue to see the difference between the world's hope and biblical hope. And as we build upon those things, what you're going to see is a really awesome timeline, God's timeline of hope, but you're also going to see that ultimate power that we have in hope in him. Now, if you recall last week, I told you that there was several variations of the word hope in Hebrew. And we looked at one of those. The word was yeshal. Yeshal meant to wait and to be patient. Two things we all love to do, right? Wait and be patient. But we also saw that yeshal brought to us a connection. There was a connection between the present and the future. So there was a connection between that present, which is that waiting for the physical manifestation of those things that we hope for, a connection between that present and the future, which is the realizing, the receiving those things that we hope for in this life, in this world. And then I went on and I further expressed that this way. I said that we have that present struggle. You know, we all go through struggle. It's that present struggle, but that present struggle is tied to future deliverance by hope. So we have present struggle, but we have future deliverance. And that is tied together, even present struggle, tied together to future deliverance by hope. So in my mind, I see it as being, well, the same thing as it's that tie, that unseen connection that we have into the spiritual realm, into the heavenlies by the Holy Spirit. Because every single one of us, each one of us is tied right now, directly tied. I love when somebody walks their dog and decides to have the dog do his business right out in front when I'm trying to look at you and all I can see is this dog out here. I didn't break though. I kept focusing on you. I was just surprised that she didn't look in. If she would have, I had all of you look over there. So for me, in my mind, it's that unseen connection that we have. So each one of us is, right now, in this present moment, we are in the spiritual realm. We are tied to the spiritual realm because we're tied to the throne of God. Because the Holy Spirit that is in you ties your spirit directly there into the spiritual realm. So I kind of picture that whole thing this way. I picture it like there's this unseen spiritual umbilical cord that's of light. And that unseen umbilical cord of light ties me, it ties you directly to the throne room of God. Well, the same thing is true. Can you get that picture? Well, the same thing is true for us with biblical hope. Biblical hope ties us from our present struggle to that future deliverance in Jesus Christ. It ties us to those two things, present struggle, future deliverance, are tied together. Now, this is different than the world's kind of hope. Because in the world's hope, there is present struggle. They have struggles, but they have a hope for some kind of escape, for some kind of deliverance from whatever their present struggle is. But those two things are untethered. They're not together. They're two separate entities. In the world's view, the world just kind of hopes that present struggle floating around out there, somehow by happenstance of life, happens to intersect with future deliverance. That's the world's kind of wishful thinking hope. That's not the hope that we have in followers of Jesus Christ. That's not biblical hope. So those are the things that we looked at last week, and I want you to think about those things and remember, because these are the things that we're going to build on this week. Now, this is awesome in my mind anyway. This is awesome. Here's the next word, the next Hebrew word for hope. The word is tikva. I never said Hebrew words were pretty, but it's tikva, T-I-Q-V-E-H, tikva. Remember the unseen umbilical cord. Remember that there is that tie between present struggle and future deliverance by hope. Remember that. Tikva literally means a cord. I was stunned when I looked at that last week. Everything that we were talking about, and this is the next Hebrew word. This is the next Hebrew variation. It means a cord. It means the idea of being connected, of being attached to something. And it means with a sense of expectancy. So we have not just the yeshal, which is that waiting for, we have the tikva, which is the actual cord that ties the two together. This is what hope is. It ties our present struggle, whatever your struggle might be, is tied directly to your deliverance, your future deliverance. Now, we get an example of that. We can see that in the Word of God, that Hebrew word tikva, for hope. We see that in a very familiar verse. This is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. So go past Psalms, go past Proverbs, all that. You get to Isaiah, it's just past Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 11. We're going to look at this in the New King James Bible. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Hope in this verse means that you are attached to an expected end, which is good. You are attached to an expected end. The thoughts that he has for you, the plans that he has for you, you are attached to an expected end that is good. This is our promise. All the things that God has planned for your future are good. Now, if you're not experiencing those things right now in life, if that's not what you're experiencing, don't worry. This moment will pass. But you've got yeshal hope. That means you wait. You use your yeshal hope to wait because you also have that hope cord, that tikva hope, which ties you directly. It attaches you directly to the promises of your deliverance. So it doesn't matter what you're experiencing or what you feel right now. You have your hope to wait. You wait in that hope because you have that hope that ties you to those promises and those deliverances. That's liberty. That's liberation. That's good news. All right, so let's look at that same verse, but let's look at it in the Amplified Bible. It says, for I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for your welfare and peace, not for an evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. You can already know what your final outcome is. It's for your welfare. It's for your benefit. It's for your good. God has a plan for you. He's got a plan for good for your life. If that's not what you're having right now, hold on to hope because it's that hope that connects you directly to that deliverance. And remember this from last week also. That which is a future hope, present struggle, future hope, tied, or future deliverance tied together by hope. Remember, your future deliverance is God's present deliverance. In God's perspective, it's the future for you. In God's perspective, it's already done. It's already readied. And that's what you're tied to. You're tied to that future deliverance, which is already in existence. You can praise, you can thank God now, no matter what it is that you're experiencing. No matter what the frustrations are, no matter what the disappointments are, no matter what your present struggle is. Because you are tied, like a cord. You are attached to those promises for your deliverance. It's what he has for you. Now, Jesus is so good. Jesus not only tells us that he has good plans for you, to really encourage you to hold on to hope, Jesus also tells you his plans for you from the beginning. This is awesome when you see it in this perspective, because this is the timeline that we have in hope. Look at this from Ephesians. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. Ephesians chapter 1. So after the Gospels, after Acts, after Romans, after 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Did I forget any? Did I skip any? I don't think I did. So Ephesians chapter 1, 4 through 5. Have hopeful looks on your faces, people. This is good. We have hope in Jesus Christ. This whole message is about hope. Look encouraged. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ in himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Okay, this is a lot to take in all at once. So let's take it just step by step. Let's just work through it. Let's look at verse number 5, first of all. Because verse number 5 says that we are predestined to become adopted as sons in Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ. Now, when you say the word predestined, people just freak out. And they get all squirrely about predestined. I know I've said this probably every third week. This is the topic. We'll get on this at some point, okay? I don't have time to go through it all today. But we'll talk about predestined sometime. But don't get all freaked out about it. Because in essence, when you look at it, one of the meanings of predestined, something comes down to this. And this is a beautiful way to look at predestined. It's what he's planned for us in love. Predestined means it's what he's planned for us in love. So when it says that you were predestined to be adopted as sons by Jesus Christ, that just means out of his great love for us, he planned everything out for you. So that's what it means. It's he planned it for us in love. I can look at it that way, and it's easy. So this is saying that God has a plan for your life today. And this is also saying, if we go back to Jeremiah 29, it tells us that the plan that he has for your life today is for your welfare. It's for your good. It's for your benefit. That means that no matter what your present struggle is today, no matter that present struggle, God has a plan, and it's a plan for your welfare, and it's a plan for your good, even in this present struggle that you might be engaged in. That's important. Keep that stored away in your mind. Now, I want you to think about one other thing that it tells us here. When did Jesus have this plan for your life? When did he have this plan for your good? When did he have this plan for your good, for your future hope? When did he have it? He had it before the foundations of the world. That is staggering to think about. This should build our hope. This should really build our confidence. This should let us know that we have great hope for what the final outcome of whatever it is that you're engaged in, that is your present struggle today. This should give you hope for that final outcome, because it makes it pretty clear. Now, let me ask you this question. What is the first line, the first word The first phrase in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Those are the first words of the Bible. The Bible starts, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Think about this. Before God did those words that we just read, before he did those first words that he spoke, before he did that, he had a plan. And that plan was for you. And that plan was for your good. Before the first words of the Bible, before in the beginning, God had a plan for you. Before in the beginning, God the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit had a plan for your good, and it was his good pleasure. It was his will, his good pleasure to plan, have a plan for you from before the beginning. Why need we worry about anything that we might be dealing with or facing today? Because it might be a present struggle that you have, and maybe it's a present struggle that you've had for a week. Maybe it's a present struggle that's gone on for a month. Maybe it's a present struggle that's been going on for a year or even more. And that sounds like a long time, but that's nothing compared to the fact that God has a plan for your good from before the beginning of time. This is the amount of love that Jesus has for us, and this is what he's done. This is why it's so important for us to understand biblical hope. Because we will get into faith, but hope is that first step. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It starts with hope. We have to have that hope, the assurance of those things that God has for us. Now, to really get the full impact of this, have you been impacted already? To really get the full impact of this, we need to go back and we need to look at the verse that comes right before the two verses we just looked at in Ephesians. Because we need to see, what is Paul referring to when he says those things? What is he referring to? What is the end blessing? What is the end blessing for you in being adopted as a son by Jesus Christ? What is the end blessing for what God has planned for you from before the beginning? What is the end blessing? Well, look, it's even better than Jeremiah 29:11, where he said, I have good thoughts for you, I have plans for you. It's even better. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. May blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ in every spiritual, given by the Holy Spirit, blessing that is in the heavenly realm. The plans that God has for you, the good things that he has provided to give you a future hope, those plans are simply this. Everything that you need for this life. Everything that is in the spiritual realm. What is in the spiritual? What's everything in the spiritual realm? It's everything. Because there's nothing that's in the heavenly realms that is not already established. It's not like God has some of his blessings and heaven was too full, so he had to take them off site and put them in a storage unit somewhere. They're all in heaven. And you have everything, every spiritual blessing of everything that is in heaven. And it's given to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is awesome. This is what the cord of hope ties you to. The cord of hope, tikva, that ties you. The cord of hope ties you to everything that you need for this present life. Everything that you need that is already established in yours in heaven. Amen? All right, so let's look at that timeline. Because the timeline, God's timeline of hope, hope again being that confident expectation of the good plans that he has for us. So hope was established before creation. But hope is for us today. Hope was established before, but hope is for us today. It's for us in this present life. It's not the world's kind of hope that is wishful thinking. It is the hope that is knowing that all the plans, the good plans that God has for you, hope is the knowing that those things are reality right now. So hope is for today. Hope was established before creation, but hope is for today. You're not going to need hope beyond this life, all right? Hope is for today. This is what it says to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 13. And now hope, I jumped in that pretty quick. I'll give you a second to get there. I was excited. I know that sometimes Donna says, you do talk a little fast, but I get excited. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 13. It says, and now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. Let's just look at one. Let's look at love. Because love abides now. It abides now because Jesus Christ, who is love, abides in us. Love abides forever. This is why love is the greatest of these three things. Because love is eternal. Love exists now in this life. It exists in the next life. It exists forever. Love is the greatest of these three things. But hope and faith, those things are for now. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. Love is forever. But now abideth faith and hope. Faith and hope, that is for the believer's experience in this life only. You don't need faith and hope when you're in heaven. Because whatever it is that you're needing, you already tangibly possess it. In heaven, you already tangibly possess it. You don't have to hope for it. You already possess it. The reality is that you possess it even now. But it remains unseen. And that's why we have to hope for it in faith. Think about that. Hope and faith are for now. That love is important, but we need that hope and that faith now in our lives. Hope and faith. Now let's go down and look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 25. Again, I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. Romans 8:25 says, but if we hope for what is still unseen by us, we wait for it, yeshal hope, we wait for it with patience and composure. You can see the theme over these last couple of weeks. You can see the theme of the importance of waiting and being patient and even having composure. We've had that word come up multiple times. So in heaven, everything that you need is already going to be evident to you. But in this life now, we have to hope for those things that we cannot see. We have to hope for those things, but they are ours already in faith. They belong to us in faith. The plan that God has for you to enjoy every spiritual blessing that is in heaven, it was established for you before creation. And if you don't see it now, wait for it with composure and with patience. Because it's yours. Hope and faith are for now. Because these things are true, but it's our future deliverance, which is present deliverance with God, and we're bringing it in. We're going to see that even closer in just a minute. Hope is for now. Hope is for this life that we walk on this earth. Hope is that anticipation of the things that Jesus has already established for us. Hope is the anticipation of all of those things in our life. And the person that understands that hope ties the present to our future deliverance, that person is going to experience the grace, the favor, the blessings of God in this life. Because listen to what this says. Still in Romans, we're going to go back a little bit. Romans chapter 5, verse number 2. Through him also, we have our access, our entrance, our introduction by faith into the grace, the state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exalt in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Through Jesus Christ, we have our access, we have our entrance into that state of God's grace and favor. Through Jesus Christ, this is what we have. Now, for those of us that hope, those of us that can have that hope, that tikva hope, that tikva hope that ties us to that grace and favor of God. Tikva hope ties us to that. That is the hope. That is the tether. That is the tie. That is the cord that gives you all of those things that are the state of grace and favor that God has. And it's the cord that you can use to bring it in closer so you can experience those things in this life. It's the cord that ties it together, and it's the cord that brings it into our reality, into our experience. As we believe, and as we continue to wait patiently and with composure in hope. Notice once again in this verse. Notice it says, let me read this to you. And let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoy in the glory of God. I want you to see, because we talked about this a few weeks ago. I want you to see, once again, there's a connection. There's a direct tie between joy, between rejoicing, between praising and hope. There's a tie between your praising and your hope. It's an important connection. Can you praise God? Can you rejoice? Can you hope even in the midst of the struggles that you're in, even in the midst of your current trial? Paul could. Because Paul had the assurance of the good plans that Jesus had already established for him. Now, if I don't have the assurance of the good plans that God has for me, I'm probably not going to hope. I'm probably not going to be rejoicing. If I'm not rejoicing, if I'm not praising God, that should be an alarm. That should be a sounder to me. That should make me aware of the fact that probably I'm not very certain about that assurance of what God has, the good plan that God through Jesus Christ has already established for me. If I'm not praising God, I'm probably not as certain as I should be about that assurance. There's a tie between hope and our continual praise, praising in Him. So, if I'm not praising Him, then I need probably more of that assurance. I need to see what it is. I need that hope. I'm not experiencing that hope fully. Where does that hope come from? Well, let me read you something from, again, Romans. We're still in chapter 5. We're just going to move on to the next two verses. We read Romans 5, 2. Let's read Romans 3 and 4. But this is going to be in the NIV. I'm sorry, the New King James. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Okay, you read that, and it sounds on the surface like it's saying that when you go through trials and tribulations of hardship, it sounds like that's where our hope comes from. That's what it sounds like. And people will tell you, well, you know, going through a trial, it builds your character. Well, you know what? Sometimes I don't need any more character. I just want deliverance, right? Don't be confused. Hope does not come from the hardships and the trials and the pains of life. It doesn't come from those things. Now, hope can be developed through those things, but that's a key difference. Hope can be developed through those things, but that's not where hope comes from. So we can go through those kinds of problems. Hope is not developed through those things. Remember, hope comes from God. God is not going to give you hardships and trials and difficulties and pains in life to try to build you up. God's not going to give you bad things to build you up. The Word tells us that every good thing comes from heaven above. The good things come from heaven. The bad things come from the enemy. Now, the enemy brings those things into our lives. He brings hardship. He brings struggle. He brings pain because he wants to alleviate your hope. But Jesus takes those things that the enemy means for our evil, and he turns them around for our good. He can even use it to develop our hope, and he turns it around for his glory as well. So that's not where hope comes from. Now, here's a tie again to last week. If there's a delay in what you're hoping for, I want you to think about this carefully. If there's a delay in what you're hoping for, hope Hope is that knowing that you possess the good plans that God has for you. It's knowing that you possess it. It's knowing that it's a spiritual reality right now, and that it will soon be a spiritual or a physical reality in our lives. If you have that kind of hope with patience, and that's what perseverance is. Perseverance. Perseverance is patience. If you have that kind of hope with perseverance, if you have that kind of hope with patience, then that patience, that hope and that patience finishes the spiritual work in your life. Hope with faith finishes the spiritual work, the deliverance of those things into our lives. So it's not through trials that hope comes. Hope doesn't come through trials. Hope comes to us from another means. Where does hope come from? Well, we do see the answer to that. Now, bear in mind, I want to emphasize, you go through trials, it can develop our hope. And that's not a bad thing. Every bad thing that I've gone through in my life since I've been a believer, every bad and horrible thing that I've gone through and experienced, I've gone through with Jesus Christ, and I've always come out on top. And it's at those times, that's when I grow. That's when I get to see the character, the nature, the personality, the faithfulness of God. It's during the hard times that you see it, because it's during the hard times that you're looking. That develops the hope. You go through that one point, the next time you face something that appears to shake your hope and appears to be hopeless, you remember, because you know. You know what God did the last time you were going through that. So bad times and hardships, they don't come from God. Hope doesn't come from that, but Jesus can use that to develop hope. But where does hope come from? We find this in Romans, chapter 15. This is verse number 4. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. For whatever things were written before were written, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Hope doesn't come through trials, but true hope in Jesus Christ, hope that is the opposite of the world's kind of hope. That kind of hope comes through the Word of God. Hope comes through the Word of God. If you feel like you're lacking in hope, spend more time in the Word. Hope comes from the Word of God. Spend more time in the Word. Spend more time in the Word. You will see your hope fountain, blossom, fill, overflow. It's what God has for us. Now, this thought of hope coming from the Word brings us to the last Hebrew word for hope. And this word is mikveh. Again, not a pretty word. But mikveh means this. It simply means to wait with confident expectation. Okay, that ties in pretty good. I mean, that ties in with everything we've said so far, right? That's good. That works. But it also means this. It also means to gather together. It means to pull together into a collection. It means a collection like a pond or a pool. Does that help you at all? Does that clarify things amazingly? Well, it does. Because mikveh, there's two words. The Old Testament would be pronounced mikveh. The Jews of today actually use that same word, but it's mikveh. So for the Jews of the Old Testament, when they would say mikveh, what they were saying, they were describing the actual pools or ritual baths that the priest had to use before they could enter into the Holy of Holies. So the priest had to go through this ritual bath, this mikveh, before they could go into the Holy of Holies. Now, in modern Jews, they use the word mikveh. And mikveh means the same thing. It means ritual cleansing. But a mikveh today, a mikveh is an actual pool. It's an actual pool of water where they are immersed so that they can become purified. Now, think of it this way. The mikveh, or the mikveh, that was the precursor for the Christian baptism. Because baptism is simply that. It's immersion. Baptism is a symbol. It's a symbol. If you look it up, it says this. It's a symbol of hope and renewal. Baptism, a symbol of hope and renewal. It's immersion. Baptism is a symbol of being purified, that we are purified in Jesus Christ. So, now let's stay with me on this. We know that Jesus, hope comes from Jesus. Hope comes from the Word, right? We just saw that. Hope comes from the Word. Jesus is the Word, right? We just saw a few moments ago in Romans chapter 5, verse number 2, that Jesus ushers us in. He is that entrance. He grants us that access. He grants us that access so that we are then immersed in that state of God's favor and grace through Jesus Christ. Immerse yourself in the hope that is the Word of God, so that the Word of God is like a pool all around you, that you are swimming, immersed in the Word of God. Now, let me read this one final verse to you. Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. I made it easy. All these last verses are all in the book of Romans. May the God of your hope so fill you all with joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. Jesus is your hope. Jesus is your hope that fills you with all joy and peace in believing so that you have hope. Jesus, the Word of God, fills you with hope so that His hope is overflowing and bubbling over in you. Now, if that's not what you're experiencing in your life, don't worry about it. Don't try to make it happen. Just know that this is what is already yours in Jesus Christ. It's not to anything that you do. It's what He's provided through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. So as we think about hope, all the things we've learned about hope so far, hope is what's that first step to faith. Immerse ourselves in hope. Hope is that which ties our present struggle, our present situation, to that future deliverance. Immerse yourself in that hope that is in the Word of Jesus Christ. And it will come overflowing out of you. It will bubble over through you. That's the power of hope. And that's why it's such an important first step towards faith. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jim, were you going to say something? Oh. Yeah. That is cool. Sorry, I saw it, and then I lost it. But I remembered at the end. At least I remembered. Well, let's all stand up. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for how good you are. We thank you that your word never returns void. We've looked at a lot of your word today. And I believe that as each one of us leaves here today, I believe that we get a better as we think about your word, your specific verses that we've read today. As we dwell upon them and meditate on them, I know, Holy Spirit, that you're going to continue to reveal more things to us because that you're going to bring us even more hope because You, Holy Spirit, provide the power through the Word of God to have that hope overflowing and bubbling up out of us, through us, that it even touches others as well. The other people see that hope in us, and they want that same hope. They want to know what it is that we have. It draws them to you. So we thank you and praise you for that. You be glorified, Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's close with some praise and worship.